In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
Welcome to the Comic Culture Radio Show, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting live on 93.3 CFMU FM McMaster Radio and podcast on comicbookdaily.com. I am Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College, and today we have guest host with us, Marty Berthelmer.
Thanks a lot, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
And as always, we are your archaeologists of the impossible.
Excavating the world of comics.
If only I knew how to say that word.
Yeah, Indiana Jones would look down upon you now.
He really would, wouldn't he? It's kind of terrible. But
be frowning.
But Marty, you know what? This is a very special day.
It is.
Absolutely.
Because
it is.
I'm here?
Well, that too. Yes, absolutely. But not only are you here enjoying the world of comic books, but it is, of course, New Comic Book Day.
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite day of the week.
Well, mine too. Funny how that works out, eh? That's crazy. And, of course, new this week is brought to you by Mr. T. He pities the fool that does listen to this radio show.
I don't know. I don't know if people out there are really pleased to hear that sort of thing, Chris.
Oh, well, okay. Well, maybe that doesn't listen to the radio show.
You know what? That's good. I think we're going to roll with that. Yeah, okay. That must just have been a typo.
I think it was.
Your typo.
My typo. All right. Well, listen. So new this week, we've got a few different comics going out today. One of them is, I'm going to start off with The Oddball Out.
The Odd Man Out.
Normally we like to start with, say, something like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, DC or Marvel, but today I'm going to start with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And, of course, this is a book that was, it's called Century 1969 by Alan Moore and Kevin O'Neill, and it's a book that was supposed to come out, 3 years ago, something like that. I remember you and I were down in Chicago.
Right, at the convention down there.
The Chicago Comic Con. And as a matter of fact, at the time, Top Shelf was saying, hey, you know, make sure you have all your back orders on the previous issues because the new one's coming out in 2 months.
Right, yeah, have your dollar bills waiting. Line up at the stands.
Exactly, and well, it didn't seem to quite work out like that, unfortunately. But it finally came out. I think Kevin O'Neill... I think he probably took a little time in writing and in drawing it, rather.
You know what? Maybe he took a little time with some inducing substances there with the colors that we got going on that front page there, Chris.
The front cover of this comic is fairly hallucinogenic looking. Is that the best way of saying that?
I was just going to say something simple like vivid. But...
Vivid. Well, that's good too. Yeah, vivid is good. But remember, this was supposed to be the 60s, so time of free love and peace out, man, and all that kind of stuff.
So. And that just included all those colors, I'm guessing.
I think so.
I wasn't around back then.
Nor was I.
Okay,
well,
that's a good guess.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's just move on. The next one I want to talk about today is... Retroactive. So, okay, so, Marty, in case you weren't too sure, I know you're not, you know, I know you're a comic fan, but...
because I'm unsure of lots of things,
well,
Chris.
What
am I unsure of today?
Well, today, I didn't know if you knew, but DC decided to go ahead and get some of the old-time artists and writers back from the original eras from, like, I'll say, like, the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s.
Okay.
And publish sort of, like, one-issue storylines. That had these older artists and creators back when, as if they were kind of doing it back in their heyday.
Oh, okay. So it appeals to like their time, their era, when they were.
So you get a guy that used to collect in the 70s. You know, he knows about the particular artists and writers, and that maybe he hasn't bought anything much since then. And now he can go and actually buy a comic by those same creators that came out today.
Okay.
So the one I have in my hand now is. It's a retroactive 1970s Superman, And it's got Martin Pascoe and Eduardo Barreto. And I think it's really cool because it has a feel as if it's a comic from the 1970s. And it looks pretty cool. And I don't know. It just looks really neat.
So was the 1970s Superman, was that back when he became Russian Superman? There was like the CCP Superman, the red one.
Oh, the Red Sun thing?
The whole Cold War Superman one.
Well, it could have been. Yeah, I think... I think that may be something different, but there was certainly the Red Sun, which was another storyline, and this is just sort of a neat little look back. I think it looks like when comics were a little bit more fun and not so dark all the time, right?
Okay, see, I'm actually a comic genius. I'm just testing you is what I'm doing here, Chris.
That's good.
I think you've passed.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I can't tell you that I've known because...
Well, and so finally for Marvel's version or pick of the week here. Mm-hmm. It's actually a combination of both of our kids' pick of the week and the Marvel pick of the week, and that is Spider-Man Marvel Adventures. And I thought this is really cool because here it's up to issue number 16, and it's a comic that's really designed for kids. But you know, it's interesting because you know it has characters that aren't necessarily. Kid friendly, I'll call it.
Incredibly childish.
For example, in this particular issue, we've got Doctor Strange. So Doctor Strange really isn't really like a. It's not like the Hulk or Spider Man or even Captain America. He's a little more complex. He's a mystical magician of the mystic arts kind of thing. And I think it's really cool that Marvel is kind of delving into these sort of stranger characters for kids.
Well, it's probably something similar to like a lot of the animated movies these days. You know, everyone knows, the creators know, you appeal to the kids is the first thing. I mean, you get a good story, a bunch of, you know, smiles and nice flashy stuff. But, I mean, there's lots of jokes in there that appeal to adults as well who are coming, taking their children to this. So, I mean, you get your child the book, and then you happen to leaf through it. Maybe you find something that you actually kind of pick up on that's a good point.
And, you know, just with that point, do you think that there's a lot of parents who actually would go and they would buy their kids the comics and then actually go ahead and read their comics, you know, because they would want to get that same nostalgic feel? Do you think they would do that?
I don't know. Well, I don't have children, but if I did, I would say I'm buying it for them.
Right.
And they probably wouldn't be able to touch it.
I don't have kids either. God willing, maybe one day. But, you know, if I was in that position, I would certainly be buying the comics that I would want to read.
You're kind of passing down the torch. Like,
absolutely.
If you've been reading Spider-Man since the 70s, 80s, 60s even, you know, since the beginning, you will definitely be pushing Spidey on your kid there.
And yeah, for sure. I mean, you kind of go with what you know, right? So you don't always want to branch off to something different just for the sake of, you know, hey, my kid really wants that. Oh, but then here's the problem. What happens if your kid wants to, you know, hey, I really want to have that, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants comic or that Dora the Explorer comic or something like that, or something that, you know, maybe you don't really care about too much. Do you still dive in, or do you just to go, and no, kid, sorry, you're only getting Spider-Man because that's what I know?
It completely depends on parenting style. I mean, what if your kid's like, hey, Dad, I want a face-melting laser ray gun. Do you go and buy that for them too?
Well, I suppose it depends on the parent.
It depends on the parenting style right there is what it is.
That's for darn sure. All right, well, let's just face-melting laser gun, you know. I don't really know what to say about that. But, you know, let's just take a quick musical interlude here for one second as soon as I get some music going here. And we're going to have a little bit of a mishmash of different music today.
A mishmash. Keep me on my toes, Chris.
The Super Friends.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom, dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. The Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
All right, and we're moving on to the next ad. Industry News is brought to you by the Droid Emporium. Whether protocol or astromech, we have thousands of models to choose from. Yes, these are the droids you're looking for.
You know, you're a great Jedi.
Am I? Wizened?
Wizened, that's right, yes. These are the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, and for those who couldn't see, Chris could. I'm sure it was a treat. I had the whole Alec Guinness with the hand waving.
I've really got
the motions down pat, Chris.
You will make a great Jedi one day.
Just bring me the Force and I'll use it.
Young Padawan, you will make a great Jedi one day.
That's sweet.
Well, you know, I try to be sweet with my guest hosts, you know.
Hmm.
Okay, so industry news. So we got to talk about Captain America, the First Avenger, opened up at the box office on the weekend.
We probably should. It's probably big news.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So now it opened up with 65.8 million, almost 66 million over the weekend in North America, and so it kicked off Harry Potter.
Okay, so it booted Harry Potter, right?
Booted Harry Potter. Harry Potter made like $48 million over the weekend, which is, I mean, obviously still great.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Captain America topped the expectations. People thought that it wasn't going to do that well, and clearly it must be doing somewhat well.
Right, it did pretty well. And so that's for North American.
That's
you
right,
said.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know if it's opened up worldwide yet or not. I don't know if that's if it has had that audience yet.
Okay, because they try and feel out the longevity and the demand of a movie based on its international, I guess, opening weekend.
That's right,
maybe.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's a good opening weekend, North American these days? Is like 60 to 70 kind of hitting it?
I think around 70 is probably a good mark. Maybe 65, 70 is probably a good mark. I mean, I think Thor, I think when that opened, it had about 89 or something like that million.
Really, opening weekend?
Yeah, it had a pretty good opening weekend, maybe a little bit better than Captain America. But I think Captain America is going to be a bit of a sleeper.
You know what? Honestly, I go to movies a lot. I've seen Captain America. I saw it a few days ago. I've seen all the comic book movies so far released this summer.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it's kind of an unfair comparison because right now we're in the dead heat of blockbuster summer.
Right.
You've got Harry Potter that was booted to number two, and number two still did 48.
Right. But
when you had Thor come out, that was what, first weekend of May? That was starting what was to be the summer of blockbuster.
Yeah.
So there was really not much competition going around.
For sure. I mean, yeah, and Thor certainly didn't have Harry Potter at the same time.
Absolutely not.
Right?
I mean, you know, it probably quadrupled everything else. Total, or something of the time.
So now, what did you think of it?
I thought it was actually excellent.
Okay, right? so compared to some of the other comic book movies.
Okay, so for a lot of people out there, I know because I've talked to so many friends and just people in general that I've seen at the movies, they think maybe Iron Man was the be all end all for Marvel movies. They thought that was probably at the top, of all movies for Marvel ever.
Okay,
I was just gonna say. I thought, with all the movies Marvel has in its bag, Captain America and X-Men First Class that was released early in the summer there, just after Thor, I thought the two of them, very close, very different sort of approaches to a comic book movie.
Totally, yeah.
But I thought both of them might be just right under Iron Man. I thought they were both fantastic. Captain America was very good. It was very simple to get into.
Yeah, yeah.
But whereas, you know, I saw Green Lantern.
Right.
I couldn't say the same thing. It was just... It was too quick off the draw, and it just looked like flashy popcorn.
Okay.
Not that it was bad. Ryan Reynolds, I don't think he can make a bad stinker.
No, he's a great actor. I like him. He's very entertaining to watch.
I just thought maybe the writing wasn't there. Maybe the right villains weren't there.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
They tried to force so much story and backlog.
One of the things that I think one of the problems with Green Lantern is I think that they tried to pander to comic book people too much. So, you know, you get a movie like Captain America where they understand there's going to be comic book fans and non-comic book fans going to see this movie.
Absolutely.
But I think they didn't try to fit in so much storyline so that the comic book fans would get little inside jokes and things like that.
Right,
Green Lantern did that. I think they tried to introduce all these different characters in a way of saying, hey, you know what? All these comic book fans are really going to love it because they got to see 58 of the different kinds of Green Lanterns, whereas, you know, maybe... at some point sacrificing some of the story because of it, you know, mm-hmm. when they introduce characters in the Green Lantern movie that, you know, they appear once or twice and then you never see them again. So you're kind of like, well, what was the point of them being in the movie? Right. Like, why did we even see them? Whereas with Captain America, it was very well told. They didn't try to squeeze too much extra, you know, comic book stuff in it just for fans. I mean, myself being a comic book fan, I was happy to see certain characters that I wasn't expecting it to be.
Right.
To
oh,
be
yeah.
In
absolutely.
It,
I totally agree.
And, but at the same time, I wasn't saying to myself, oh, geez, you know, where's, you know, how come Baron Zemo is not in it? Or how come this other character's not in it? And it's not really much of a spoiler. I don't think you were going to expect that Baron Zemo was going to be in it anyways. But that's,
who's a Zemo?
What's
a Zemo?
Yeah. So this is my point. And I think Captain America, they did a really good job of telling the origin in a way that was concise and captivating to the audience. Unlike, you know, I didn't mind the original – I shouldn't say the original. The Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
I didn't mind it, but you know what? I thought there was too much time spent on his origin
story.
There was.
There was so much story of just who Peter Parker is going into –
Right. And I think that's what you were kind of getting at is with the Captain America movie, you kind of got the origin and you got everything all at once. It told very, very well, concise. You know,
yes.
You didn't have to have – you know, it's not – too much of a stretch by telling the audience that you know the idea behind Captain America is he's this scrawny kid from Brooklyn and
right.
You know he wants to go and fight the war and blah 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 blah. Well, you know, we didn't need to see the scrawny kid for, you know, an hour and a half before he actually became Captain America.
No, and you didn't need to see him just continuously getting beaten up
exactly.
or getting turned down from girls or
yeah, that's right. So I think it was very extremely well done and man, I'm already looking forward to the Avengers movie.
Well, how can you not be? It pretty much Captain America said, this is the end of everything you're getting for this summer, other than Conan.
Yeah.
But from Marvel DC, the big flashy, you know, publishers, distributors, these are the biggest things you're going to get and all the things you're going to get for the summer.
Yeah.
Next summer, you've got all these characters they've just finished unveiling to you.
Yeah.
Coming together in one big movie, the Avengers, and I mean, people before even this summer said, I can't wait to see the Avengers.
Exactly.
I mean, I know I want to see these movies come up, but I can't wait to see these people I haven't even seen on screen yet be in the movie that, you know, isn't even made yet.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I thought it was great. I mean, I know you saw the Thor movie, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know what was great about the Thor movie? So the Thor movie, you know, introduced a couple characters, and even one that you for the regular viewing audience that isn't that aren't comic book fans,
mm-hmm.
they have already seen characters that they don't even aren't even aware are going to be in the Avengers movie, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's no big secret to comic book people that you know we saw, you know, Hawkeye in the Thor movie, the
right.
guy with because he was the guy with the bow and arrow, but he was the actor Jeremy Renner wasn't even credited in the movie. And yet now we're seeing glimpses of him in the Avengers trailer kind of thing.
Right, yes, which, you know, stick around after the Captain America movie, obviously, as Marvel fashioned, always stick around.
Yeah, if you're going to go see a Marvel movie, you got to make sure you stay till after the credits.
Yeah, you got to stay the 30 minutes after the credits and the flashy pictures that come by.
It did feel like 30 minutes, doesn't it?
Well, it's probably because it clocked in just over 28 anyway.
It's crazy, crazy. Anyways, so bottom line is Captain America movie was great. I liked it. You liked it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it will have lots of longevity. Like, I don't even know if Green Lantern's still in the theaters. I think this one will probably last at least a month and a half anyway.
That's a good point.
It'll probably take us through the end of summer. Like, I don't know what's still out there because too many things probably kicked it out.
For sure, for sure, for sure. All right. Well, let's keep on going here. So, you know, over the weekend, they had the big San Diego Comic Book Convention.
The biggest of the conventions.
The big of the big, yeah. I didn't get exact numbers, but I know that they're expecting somewhere around 100,000 people over the weekend.
Which is consistent with what they've been getting over the past years.
Before we even go into what the things that were talked about over the show, I got to ask you. So, you know, do you think this is the kind of show, the kind of convention that now really should be moving to like a place like Las Vegas,
somewhere that's just the big glam and the all
because,
out?
Because you know, let's get 200,000 people in. Let's get 300,000 people in. Some ginormous, huge convention center that only Vegas could possibly handle.
Right, a huge tourist attraction as well as just being the total pinnacle of... You know what? You raised the interesting point, but I mean, what if they move it to somewhere like there and they only get 100,000 still?
Right,
like,
right.
Is that a possibility?
But the problem... Yeah, I suppose it is, but I think the problem with it right now is that it can only... It's kind of peaked as far as growing.
It's kind of confined to that space and it can't really explode beyond that.
That's right, yeah. I mean, but you got to remember, so San Diego is seeing an influx of upwards of 100,000 people come into that city once every year.
And a lot of them are traveling from outside.
Oh,
it's not just all San Diego residents
that's right,
going there.
That's right. They're, I mean, mean, I would say most of them are traveling from somewhere else, if not other states, other countries.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Absolutely.
You know. So, anyways, I completely agree. Vegas is the way to go.
Yeah, Vegas or something. You know, you go get the LA approach. I don't know if they can take up an entire street of convention centers or something in LA.
Well, that would be cool. Mm-hmm. That would be very cool. All right. So over the weekend, Marvel and we've got a few things to talk about from both Marvel and DC. So one of the things that, and we're going to start with Marvel here. One of the things that Marvel announced was that, so Spider-Man and the X-Men comics would be going, digital, both on the same day as the, regular issues. So same day and date, digital fall and winter.
So in other words, on a Wednesday like today,
yep,
the books would be hitting the shelves.
Yep.
The digital copies would be available online.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. So this is big news because typically right now digital copies come out
a little bit later.
A little bit later.
Yeah.
So I mean, there are probably people that just, I can't wait. I like the digital world, but I need to go out there. I need to buy the copy.
That's right, yeah.
Which is not a bad way to go, because we always say, like, having the tangible copy is not a bad thing. That's
absolutely
the way of the traditional comic book. Yep. It feels better to have it in your hand. But it's super convenient for those people who need to have their fix. Maybe they're at work during the day.
Exactly. Great point. Yeah, great point, you know. And I suppose if they're at work, they really should be reading comics.
Maybe they might get in trouble. This might actually cost a lot of jobs out there. I don't know.
You never know. But I think it's great that Marvel is catching on. I mean, I hate to use phrases like catching on to the digital world or finally get plugged in or go online. But you know what? There's really no other way of saying it that, you know, these companies really have to start to step up with the times and understand that a lot of people like to get their stuff digitally online via their computer.
People get their information online.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people under the age of maybe 40 actually read a newspaper consistently.
Right. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I do, but I think I'm kind of a rarity.
As we all know, you're very special.
And
Chris,
I'm not really that far much under 40 anyway, so I'm close to
young
it.
Chris, 29 for life.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. So one of the other things that Marvel talked about was, so Hugh Jackman revealed that the Silver Samurai will be the movie villain for The Wolverine. Now, this was double news for me because I wasn't even too aware that there was going to be a new Wolverine movie.
Neither was I.
And now finding out that the Silver Samurai is going to be the villain, I think this is pretty cool.
So you're excited about it.
I'm excited about it, yeah. He's sort of a somewhat classic-ish character for the Wolverine canon and lore and that kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm. My question is, so we got Wolverine Origins, right, which tells of the whole tale, and
yeah,
you kind of get some insight into that. So where do you think, or do you know, where this movie will take place in regards to him being part of X-Men?
Right.
Or, you know, like, is he going to be, like, in that outcast state?
This should be before the X-Men years.
In between there.
Yeah. Because as far as I am aware, at least in the comics, his encounters with the Silver Samurai sort of started before he became part of the X-Men and that kind of thing, when they've gone back and done origin stories and that kind of thing. So.
Again, I know all of this already. Very and forth. I'm testing you.
And I appreciate that. It's good for our listeners
all aces
to know. Yeah,
absolutely. Because
right.
Walt doesn't test you enough when he's here.
He really doesn't.
He's very lenient of you.
I know. It's why we've been friends for so long.
He puts up with a lot.
He really does. And so going on, staying with this, you know, movies and media type talk, the Marvel TV panel discussed the progress of upcoming ABC shows, including a Jessica Jones show, a new Hulk show, a Mockingbird show, and a Cloak and Dagger TV show.
Okay.
So
I heard everything you said. I'm just thinking, is Lou coming back to the Hulk?
If only Lou Ferrigno was, sorry, Lou Ferrigno. I don't even know what he calls himself now. We'll call him Lou.
It's irrelevant as long as you get his face getting in there.
I would say he's probably not coming back as the Hulk.
No.
I would think that they're probably going to do some sort of digital type thing, but maybe he'll be have like a guest spot or a regular guest spot.
Well, you know what? He's doing the traveling circus of all. He's doing all the convention shows.
Yeah,
he must be trying to pull to get the spot
would. He's been doing those comic conventions for a long, long time now. I remember seeing him in Detroit one time at a restaurant. He was eating the biggest salad I've ever seen in my life. Do you remember in the Seinfeld? Oh, he had to order the big salad.
The big salad.
Yeah, it was like twice that size. It was enormous. But you know what? Good for him. He's still getting his greens.
Was he getting his protein? Where's the meat?
It was probably after the salad. After the salad.
So a multi-course big salad eater.
He probably should have had the salad afterwards to help, you know, clean him out, kind of thing. But, you know, we won't get into too much of that on
the radio. No, the bodily functions.
Yeah,
it's delicate.
But, yeah, so Mockingbird is going to be a show, apparently. And Cloak and Dagger, which is going to be a show, apparently, as well, which I think is pretty cool.
Okay.
You know what's interesting about this is that they're taking characters that are really, aside from the Hulk,
right,
taking characters that are really like third string,
yeah, a little obscure, no one really knows about them.
But because of that, they can probably develop these characters a little bit better, and because there's not much history about them already, you know, they can probably do things with them.
They can take leeway and
exactly
privilege of it. Whereas, you know, Wolverine origin movie, everyone heckled the crap out of it.
And yeah, you, if you make one misstep on a Wolverine movie or on a Captain America,
you're
going to
get
movie,
slammed for it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. So. Okay, so also in the Marvel lineup, we had Jeff Loeb announced that he and longtime collaborator Ed McGuinness are going to be teaming up for a new Cable series. Now, I don't know if you're a fan of New Mutants or the X-Men and that kind of stuff, but Cable is one of those characters that kind of was spawned out of, you know, I'll call the Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld era of comics in the Marvel universe kind of thing. And so Cable became a really hot character for a long time and then has completely died off.
Okay. And wasn't it – it was like Cable and Deadpool.
Cable and Deadpool, really. Yeah, that's right. They were sort of the two big ones. Amy, we find out that Cable is related to Cyclops and Jean Grey and all that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to see that there's a new Cable series coming out by Ed McGuinness and Jeff Loeb. And I think this is cool because actually Ed McGuinness and Jeff Loeb did a lot of work on Deadpool as well back in the day. So it's good that we got the new Cable comic coming out. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about Marvel unleashing a couple other big things. One of them is Hulk of Arabia. I have no idea what this is going to be about. And then there's the Avengers Origins one-shots. There's a Villains for Hire. There's all kinds of new stuff coming up from Marvel. Mm-hmm. Now, Hulk of Arabia.
Yeah.
Okay, if I just say those words, what do you think of?
I'm thinking of something like Aladdin, where he's a street urchin of sorts,
yeah,
an outcast, and I don't know, maybe tries to pretend to be a prince.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to pan out.
I don't know.
Best of luck, Hulk.
I don't know if Hulk of Arabia is really going to do very well or not, but you know, it's something that I think that the Hulk of Arabia is possibly could do very, very well, but you know what, it's got to be really, really careful with what they're doing, because you know, it could really, I don't know, it just seems like it's a storyline that who knows how it's going to go. You know, Avengers Origins will be good, and Villains for Hire will be good too, because you know, with something like Villains for Hire, you're going to have all kinds of cool villains that you don't necessarily get to see all the time, maybe popping up, and sort of one-shot storylines.
Right,
like
so
that.
They'll be here, but you won't get bored of them after
right,
a while.
Right, exactly, exactly. Okay, so let's keep moving on here. I feel like I'm babbling on.
Absolutely.
So next, we've got DC. So
That was Marvel.
That was Marvel.
Here's DC.
Here's DC. So now with DC, there's going to be a new – now, we were talking earlier about the Green Lantern movie.
Yes.
Now, they're really pushing Green Lantern. Is trying to be
– they're really trying to make it the biggest thing that they've got.
Yeah, they're trying to make it be as the next big thing. And in doing so, now they gave fans a new look at the upcoming Green Lantern animated series. So there's going to be a brand new TV show about the Green Lantern. Now, DC had huge success with Batman animated series.
Right, they did.
Superman
the Batman Beyond, everything like that. It was crazy.
Superman animated series. I'm wondering if maybe they should have done the Green Lantern animated series before they did the movie. Because at least that would give people a little bit more insight to people that, you know, to kids and to, you know, maybe even teenagers about who Green Lantern is.
Absolutely. I that may have been part of the downfall of the movie itself, was that it didn't. No young child was really, I don't think, aware in the loop of Green Lantern.
Right.
So
right.
A lot of those figures was leaving them out. The ones that dress up as Spidey that come to see Spider-Man, that's because they watch the animated series and they see the movie.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And,
you know,
there were no little Green Lantern children dressed up with their power rings going everywhere.
That's right, that's right.
So I think maybe they should have released it a little bit
before.
I agree.
I think having a Green Lantern animated series come up before the movie probably would have been a smarter move. But, you know, that's because you and I are perfect, right? So, of course, why didn't they come to
in every
to
way.
Us? Yeah.
We're like Mary Poppins over here.
Yeah, they should have talked to us first about this. Okay, so this is sort of an odd storyline, our next point here. So there have been lots of different designs for the new Wonder Woman. right? So they're trying to get her to have a new outfit.
Of course.
And sometimes she's wearing pants, and sometimes she's wearing shorts. So now now they're saying that fans learned that Wonder Woman's pants are retractable. So, you know, I don't understand this. So.
Let me stop. First you said, some of them are with Wonder Woman wearing pants. I really thought you were going to come up with one, and some are with her not wearing pants. I'm sorry. My mind started racing. Well,
I see where you're going with this. Yeah, mm-hmm. we're not doing the we got to keep this a family show here. You know, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
This is family oriented.
I've got a mother somewhere. I'm part of a family.
Right. Anyways, so apparently Wonder Woman's pants could be retractable because they're going to have them made into shorts. I think what they're saying is that they're not really retractable, but they're going to keep on going back from pants to shorts to pants to shorts, whatever suits their purpose.
So it's not like a little button and they start rolling up on themselves,
no.
or they don't turn into capris or floods or something.
But they should. But she has an invisible plane, so maybe she needs to, lengthen the pants a little bit, just make sure nobody gets, free shows or anything like that,
Maybe it's so they can try out both and then see the response to each.
Yeah, could be.
And then,
could be.
I'm going to get rid of these long pants. I'm just going to go with shorts.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
All right, well, all the best to Wonder Woman and her retractable pants.
Mm.
So DC fans apparently are going to get got a better picture of... You know, we've got this new DCU coming up in September where all the characters now, we don't know who's going to be who anymore. Well, apparently Batman fans got a better picture of what each of the Batman family, I'll call it, is going to be. So,
okay.
So Batgirl may be not the Batgirl that you're thinking of. We don't really know who's going to be who, but apparently everything's a little clearer picture for them.
You're crushing she's not single, is what you're saying?
We don't know. We don't even know how old she is that they're saying now. They're saying that maybe Batgirl won't even be our age kind of thing. Maybe she'll be 14, or maybe she'll be 87.
Our age, Chris.
Sorry. I know. I'm only a couple years older than you.
I know, just two.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Let's see what else we got here. We got there's all kinds of panels because they had to address this whole idea with the new DCU.
It's a big issue. From what I've come to understand, it's the total reshaping of everything.
That's right. So, they had all kinds of panels. So they had a Batman panel and a Superman panel. Well, they had a Justice League panel where they talked about... historically, actually, something. The reason why I'm talking about this is something a little close to home for me.
Aww.
They talked about historically what's up with Power Girl and why is Power Girl? Sure, her origins keep on changing and all that. So they talked a little bit about that. So hopefully, we'll find out some new information coming up in the next few months about what they're finally going to do with Power Girl.
You're on the edge of your seat, aren't you?
I really am.
I can tell.
I really, really,
you're getting
am.
Really close.
Yeah. And then finally, we've got I don't know if you're a fan of Fables, but Fables is that storyline where they take sort of the old children's story characters like Snow White and things like that, and they've kind of put them in as if they lived in today's lifestyle.
Right, yeah, the modern twist to classic tales.
Yeah. So they've already had one spinoff called... what's it called now? Jack... it was basically the Jack of Fables, right?
Right,
so,
you're right.
And now we've got a new spinoff called Fairest, and this will be an ongoing series focusing on the fairy tale ladies of the Bill Willingham Fables comics. So
it's going to be female leads. And...
Yeah, so you're going to have Snow White and Rose Red and Cinderella and all those kind of characters from all those popular tales of old.
Okay, and is this going to play on the female... comic reading audience then maybe or?
Well let's hope so. Hopefully it'll bring in some new female audience members, and it'd be nice because we always want to see more of everybody joining into the comic book community, and it's always
absolutely,
and considering it's still a male dominated, I'd love to,
that's I what I mean maybe they're yeah. they're just given another incentive.
Yeah, it would be great if we could see some more females involved in the comic book industry. All right, well, let's take a quick break here. We've got we're going to keep on going here in a minute. And I just want to have a musical interlude. This one is called Jimmy Olsen.
Now who's the man behind the man, behind the mighty Superman? Oh, who's the guy he can rely on?
Right! Jimmy Olsen!
Jimmy boy, Jimmy boy.
Mama Olsen's pride and joy. supersonic signal. Watch, you'll get Superman there on time to get the bad guys.
Who's the best darn cub reporter? Does everything a reporter order, except to marry Mr. Lane's daughter, Lucy? That's me.
Jimmy, Jimmy boy.
Jimmy boy, Jimmy boy. Mama Olsen's pride and joy.
Enough of old Jimmy Olsen. All right, let's keep going here. We've got our next segment is brought to you by nuclear energy. Safe, efficient, and if an accident does happen, don't worry. You'll probably just end up with superpowers anyways.
Mm-hmm. That was much better than hearing about Jimmy Boy. Get Jimmy Boy on out of this place.
Oh, come on.
No, it was good. It was very classic.
All right, there you go. All right. Okay. So let's keep on continuing on with some industry news here. Mm-hmm. So at the San Diego Comic-Con on the weekend, they have, of course, had a Spider-Man movie panel because the new Spider-Man movie trailer is actually out on the internet.
Okay.
And so you can check that out. But and so, of course, they wanted to highlight the movie coming up soon, and they wanted to talk about it. But there's two interesting stories that came out of the Spider-Man movie. So the first one is the main villain is going to be the Lizard in the new Spider-Man movie. And there's a guy named Rhys Ifans. Reese was not behaving very well over the weekend. In fact, he made a surprise appearance on the panel, but apparently the biggest surprise afterwards is what happened afterwards, where Ifans was arrested for a misdemeanor for battery, allegedly shoving a female security guard. Hmm. So. Yeah, how? So you know, you're trying to be a decent fellow. You know, you're gonna go up and introduce yourself to all the fans, and then apparently I've read other reports saying that he wasn't very nice during the panel, and now you end up getting a misdemeanor for actually shoving one of the guards.
Well, Chris, let me ask you this.
Please do.
Is he the hero or the villain of this film?
Oh, you know, that is very good. That's a very good point.
Yeah, but that's a cop out.
That is a cop out.
You know what? If I'm gonna give my honest opinion on that. That's not good press.
I wouldn't think so.
You know, all press is good press. No.
Yeah.
That doesn't look too good on a company that's trying to promote, you know, children's books, a lot of age, a variety of age span for, like, their next movie coming out, because Spider-Man is very age-friendly.
Absolutely, yes.
So
absolutely.
You see stuff like that, a lot of parents are probably going to get a little bit worried over, you know, maybe the content and what Marvel is all about. So
totally. Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe they'll try and do some sort of recovery, or they'll blame the fan instead.
You know what? They'll probably say, you know what? I think what your idea was great. I think they'll probably say, well, you know, he is supposed to be playing the villain, and he was just trying to stir up controversy.
Right. It was something like a little plot that kind of off the side or something.
You know what? This kind of reminds me of – did you ever see that Saturday Night Live skit where William Shatner went on, and he was playing himself in the skit? As if he was at a Star Trek convention, and
now I want to see it.
Oh, it's great! So he's at a Star Trek convention, and he says, "You know, I'm really glad to be here, and you know, I just have one thing to say to all you people: get a life. You've turned this little tiny show into a colossal waste of time, you know." And so then, you know, he kind of walks off the stage, and then the promoter, you can see he and the promoter kind of get into a tiff, and he comes back on saying, "Oh, sorry, that was just the evil Kirk from episode 23, you know." And all the fans are like, "Oh, yeah, it's great,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So maybe if he came back with a counter of, oh, yeah, I really like this person. Right. This security guard's my brother-in-law or sister-in-law.
Right.
Or,
yeah, that's
you
right.
You know, and,
yeah. Yeah, so anyways, interesting news. So, but the other part about this is on a complete flip side to this story.
Mm-hmm. Complete.
So as you know, there's the San Diego Comic-Con is like a huge mecca for people to dress up in
yeah,
costumes.
It's difficult to even call it a Comic-Con because of what it's turned into.
Yeah, it's really turned into a media event. But mm-hmm. at the heart of it, it's still comics.
Right.
And of course, because of that, people like to dress up and they go to this convention dressed up as their favorite comic.
A lot of people dress up.
Yeah, right. So it's huge. So apparently, so they started the Spider-Man movie panel. And so then there's this guy in a Spider-Man costume who's dressed up, and he goes to take the microphone to ask a question. And who does it turn out to be but the guy that is actually going to end up playing Spider-Man in the movie, Andrew Garfield. So he's the guy playing the actor. Like, sorry, it's the actor playing the character in the movie. And so
that's who was dressed up as
Spider-Man.
That's
who was dressed up.
That's neat.
So he takes off his mask. And, you know, he goes to ask the question, takes off the mask. Of course, everybody goes crazy because it's actually him, right?
Right.
So how cool is that? You know, the change between, you know, here's some guy, the Welsh actor playing the Lizard is like, you know, beating up security guards, and then you get the Spider-Man actor coming around and being part of the crowd and everything. It's just completely different.
See, I think Marvel, being the big conglomerate, they can try and spin that, saying
totally.
The Lizard was stirring up trouble.
Yeah,
just
totally.
Just getting into the moment and everything.
If they made the right move, they certainly would do that, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
And it would especially be great, I don't know if you know, but in actual real-life timeline, if the Spidey incident happened after the Lizard provoked
right.
and got arrested,
right.
There would be a little bit of a recovery, at
that's
least,
right,
even
yeah.
if they don't say, oh, it was intentional.
Yeah.
Like, that's them coming back, doing a thumbs up to everyone who's there.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know the timeline. I don't know if it happened afterwards or not. I don't know. But I just thought it was a cool little story about the Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving right along here. So nothing to do with movies for a second here, anyways.
Oh, you know what? Before you,
yeah.
as you say that, nothing to do with movies whatsoever.
Yeah.
I just wanted to note from everything we've just been discussing
yeah,
at the
yeah.
San Diego Comic-Con, it seems very media rich.
Oh, it is.
Like, it
for
usually
sure.
is, but
yeah.
there are actually TV shows.
Yeah,
and tons of movies. It seems like every year we get maybe 2-3 comic book movies
yeah.
in the summer. This summer, we've already had 4. We're getting Conan 5.
Yeah.
It seems like every summer is just going to be more and more comic
more and
book
more
movies
comic
battling
stuff.
For top slot.
Yeah.
And now we've got shows coming out.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
seems like this medium of comic books is really turning into a medium of TV, film,
yep.
like it's all
and video games.
It's all one big, exactly. It's all yep. one big circle of even distribution now.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting is that we were told that they were gonna that the other media, like the movies producers, the television producers, that they were gonna try to scale back what they were gonna promote at
mm-hmm.
Comic Con.
Right, I heard that.
But you know what's interesting is it doesn't seem that they're really scaling it back because as in years past, like, you know, the Lost TV series.
Right, yeah.
Well, that was actually premiered at Comic-Con.
Right, yeah.
But it had nothing to do with comics.
No.
Right? So, but it was sort of like, well, why would they premiere there? But, you know, it was just to get
mm-hmm.
the fans going. But now it seems like they're still promoting stuff, but it's all comic book related. So they're not doing quite as much non-comic book related stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is the way it should be.
Right.
But they're certainly a deluge of the regular comic book stuff coming out,
mm-hmm.
so which I think is great.
Yeah.
So now, having said that, I want to skip. I'm going to skip the next story, and we're going to go to the Walking Dead video game.
Ooh.
So, which I think is pretty cool.
It is.
So, Telltale Games has released its first official screenshot from the upcoming video game. Of course, this game will be based on Robert Kirkman and Tony Moore and Charlie Adlard's Walking Dead graphic novels. So this would be kind of cool. You'll be able to go out and actually, you know, kill zombies and do all that great stuff that you would do normally in any other kind of zombie
right.
game.
Any of the plethora.
Exactly.
Of
yes.
Yeah.
So there's certainly no shortage of zombie killing games out there. But once again, The Walking Dead rules where it says, where, yeah, according to zombie lore, and it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be great.
Right, and I believe they've got all new protagonists and everything like that. Like, they've got new characters being
yeah.
introduced, so it's
yeah.
something fresh. It's like a different storyline, but it's in video game format as opposed to
exactly,
graphic novel
exactly.
format.
Well, a lot of times what they do with these video games, because there was a Lost video game, they're speaking
mm-hmm,
of Lost
yeah.
earlier. There's all kinds of video games based on TV shows and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. Usually they don't try to make it exactly like the book or exactly like the show. They kind of take certain side storylines and sort of expand on it for the video game, sort of make
right.
it enhance enhance it.
Except for those movie to video game comic book sort of movies. Like,
right.
You know, Spider-Man 2 the game,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
they,
yeah.
They
Thor
parallel the, it almost as much where, as they can.
Where they get a Thor movie and they just make the game out. Right, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I hear you, yeah. Okay, so moving right along, we've got now, this is not nothing to do with movies or video games.
Okay.
But I did want to talk about Archie.
Archie.
So, Archie, yes. Remember Archie with Jughead and Reggie? And,
who may have had a big blow-up issue with the wedding and the
that's
everything
right.
that
that's
everyone
right.
wanted.
Yeah,
and, yes.
That's right, yeah. So, well, Archie is going to announce its first openly gay character. And so his name is going to be where it is. Kevin Keller is going to be openly gay. And in Kevin Keller's feature, the character will be married to another man.
Oh, okay.
So this is extremely important as far as socially speaking, right?
Right.
It doesn't happen very often in comics, let alone in Archie, where it's, you know, is extremely, I don't know what you want to call it, but old-fashioned stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
is what Archie usually bases their stories on.
Yeah, it seems so.
Yeah. So, but what I find is even more interesting is that on the weekend in New York State, they finally allowed to have openly gay marriages.
Oh,
so,
they did?
Yeah. So this is sort of interesting that this is happening now in comics as well.
So will this only get distributed in the States with that accept?
It probably won't, but it'll probably be distributed everywhere, but I'm sure there are some states that might not allow it, because certainly it's
the
fiction.
Reception might be negative.
Yeah.
Or,
I mean, certainly it's fiction, so when it's fiction, you can't really
right,
say
no.
anything about it.
No,
but
no, not
certainly,
at all.
Maybe in some states where it's really frowned upon, maybe it'll be harder to get, probably,
mm-hmm.
if even at all.
Well, maybe Archie's just trying to make the statement that they aren't the living in, you know, the 40s, 50s, where the norm is the norm.
Well, and it's interesting because this is actually Archie has a magazine series called Life with Archie, and from what I'm told, it's actually extremely well written. Because they've kind of made it into a soap opera for adults that like Archie.
Okay.
And so they have storylines. They're a little bit more mature and that kind of thing. So apparently it's really up with the times.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. All right. So let's keep on going here. What else have we got here? Oh, this is interesting. I really like this idea. So, okay. So now, of course, we've talked about the new DCU coming up in September, right?
I think you and Walt have talked about that for...
Well,
weeks on end.
It is big news in the comic book industry.
Absolutely.
So it's hard not to talk about it. Now, up until the new DCU, there's all these – all of DC's comics are – or I should say a lot of them are part of this Flashpoint series.
Right.
Now, even more interesting is what Marvel's response to Flashpoint is. So I'm going to read the little blurb here I've got here. Marvel is once again encouraging comic book stores to exchange unsold books from their competition in their latest retailer promotion. So they're going to give comics for comics.
Hmm.
So what they can do is for every 50 covers sent to Marvel that have a Flashpoint tie-in in them, they're going to receive from Marvel a variant issue from Fear Itself, number 6.
Okay.
So let's say you're a retailer and you've ordered all these Flashpoint comics and, you know, maybe they're not selling quite as well as you had hoped.
Right.
Well, if you strip the covers mm-hmm. off of those comics and send them in, if you get 50 of them together, you'll get a special Fear Itself variant.
Hmm. Okay, now I'm, you know, from a business standpoint, just thinking about it.
Yeah.
So... Sorry there. So Marvel is trying to say, sell your books the first 2 weeks. You're going to get a little bit nervous. Maybe you'll have 200 total comics,
yep.
DC, of the yep. Flashpoint together. Rip them apart.
Yep.
I'll give you 4 books for them have a special value to them, maybe.
Right.
But pretty much you're saying, we don't want you to sell those a month down the line.
That's right. That's right.
It seems like a little bit of a cheap shot. Like
it's
a tactic.
It is.
It's a marketing tactic. So I give them credit for that. But it seems like a little bit of a cheap shot.
It is definitely a little bit of a cheap shot.
I don't know. How do you feel about that, Chris?
Well, I think it's an interesting tactic. I actually like it a lot. I think all the gloves are off when it comes to everything that's been happening with the DCU and Marvel and all that. The gloves are off. Like, you know, it's cutthroat.
It's not like you're unaware of
no,
the competition,
right,
the rivalry going
but,
here.
But what I'm going to find is even more interesting. So let's say let's say you're a store owner and you've now got 50 comics that you're going to take the cover off, right?
Yes.
So you've paid good money for that.
Yes.
So I don't know what a store pays for their cost for a comic. Let's say it's $2.
Walter.
Yeah, if only Walt was here.
Yeah, where is he? Where is
but
that
but
guy?
Let's say it's $2, mm-hmm. right? So now, if you're going to send in 50 covers, well, that's $100. So that variant comic has to be worth. Mm-hmm. They better be able to get at least $100 out of it, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So, which I'm hoping they will. But really interesting tactic there, I thought.
So I just one more question though. Let's say the first Flashpoint issue, like the ones from a couple months ago, stuff like that, stuff that might be at the point where the retailers have already kind of put it into their $2 bins or something like that. You get a guy, you go into a store, you say, hey, I'll take 100 of those issues of whatever for, say, $100, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he sends them in.
Yeah, I don't know if individual people are able to send them in or if you have to be a store owner.
Oh, okay.
But you do send them, but you might be able to because this isn't this isn't something that goes through Diamond. And Diamond is, of course, the major, the only distributor of comics.
They have no control over this.
They have nothing to do with this. It's all – you send them directly to Marvel. So maybe, hey, you know what? If you're a collector and you've read them and you know what? I don't want these Flashpoint comics anymore. Maybe you can strip your own comics and send them into Marvel and get a variant.
It's very interesting. It's going to be tough to gauge how many stores will actually send in 50 books sell.
It's a lot. It's not five.
That variant might actually hold some sort of value.
Totally. Absolutely. So I think it's an interesting tactic they've got going there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you know what? I'm sorry. You know what? I had some of my stuff out of order here. I want to go very quickly back to San Diego for a second here. Only because Image, has some really great comics out there, and they're really, I remember back in the day in the 1990s when Image was sort of, we used to call books sort of very imagey. They had a certain look to them, and they're usually very extreme and flashy and that kind of thing. Now over the years, they've really toned down all those kind of.
They fell into their own.
And, they've got great books out there. Of course, we often talk about Walking Dead, and that is of course one of the Image titles. Well. It looks like Brian K. Vaughan is actually going to start doing some writing for Image. Now, in case you weren't aware, Brian K. Vaughan is the writer of Ex Machina and Why the Last Man.
Okay.
Now, those were both done for the Vertigo story, Vertigo line for DC. But now it turns out he's going to do a new Image title calling it Saga. Now, we don't really know much about it, but this is, by Brian K. Vaughan. And actually, Brian K. Vaughan was actually one of the writers for Lost as well. Speaking of Lost.
It's funny how this is a tie-in, a show.
Yeah.
And the story arc is Lost.
Yeah, yeah. This is very interesting.
It's almost as if you wrote the script.
Almost. But I didn't, but as if. Now I gotta tell you this. Now I know you're a fan of this. You're of this next character.
But I don't know who is he.
Okay, so believe it or not, Image is actually going to start a MacGyver comic book. Now I know you're a MacGyver fan.
Who isn't? Anyone who can put paper clips together and make something useful.
Well, yeah, that's right. So a MacGyver comic. I mean, I'm wondering if what happens with all those MacGyver comics that are going to be left around? Can you fashion them into some sort of like nuclear?
Yeah, see, Marvel needs to give you an offer on 50 MacGyver comics, put into the most creative structure or the most useful contraption.
Exactly.
Nothing but glue and MacGyver comics.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Perfect. I love it. All right, so we're going to have our last little point of the show here, and I want to thank our intrepid. I say our intrepid. This way, see, if you were Walt, you'd know what to say. I say then, but that's okay.
I say.
Our intrepid reporter from England, Danny Champion, has actually gone ahead and had an interview with the creator of Batman Live.
Right.
Now, of course, if you're not too sure. Batman Live is the I don't want to call it a musical or a stage play. It's like this extravaganza.
It's something unique.
Yeah, in London, and so he had a chance to talk to the producer Nick Grace about what's going on, and so he was nice enough to actually have some downtime. I think he had about a half hour long conversation with him. And they just sort of talked about what the show was going to be about and that kind of thing. And we will be posting this entire interview on Comic Book Daily.
Right, because there's so much to kind of go through here. Half an hour of conversation can't be done justice in 40 seconds.
For sure. It's just too much. But just to give you some highlights, Intrepid reporter Danny Champion asked some things like, so you dreamt this whole thing up on your own. So, where did you get the inspiration from? And, he talks about going to Warner Brothers and actually pitching this with
just the progress of getting down to business.
And apparently this has been 2.5 years in the making. Mm-hmm. And so, and luckily for us, it's no Spider-Man Shot in the Dark or whatever it's called there, musical Alone in the Dark or Forever in the Dark or something like that.
Little Boy in the Dark.
Luckily it doesn't have, maybe not luckily or not, but it doesn't have the U2's The Edge involved with it either. So,
but I think that takes away from production.
It looks like it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna go on a world tour after it's done sort of its initial run in England, and they have a new Robin origin, and they have all kinds of great stuff going on.
Yeah, because if I understand it correctly, it's very Robin centric. Like it's very it's kind of focused on Robin.
But you know what's interesting? So it says here, they asked him, how long have you been working on the show? How did it evolve? And his answer was, well, the whole idea of the show is to bring the comic book to the stage. So inspiration came directly from comics. He wanted the show to feel like a comic book from start to finish. They have a 100-foot video screen, which they use for moving backgrounds and set changes in location. And they use a video screen to tell Batman's origin. They've got a guy that actually designed a car for it. As well as knowing that there's going to be a new DCU coming up soon, they're trying to stick with the way the DC universe is right now.
Mm-hmm. And it even like with the big screen, they said they got Jim Lee. There's original story, original art, everything. So there's lots of new stuff. Like they completely did.
Like, okay, so I know we're running out of time here, but it says here, they asked him, what is your favorite moment of the show? And his response is, it's all amazing, but there is one scene where the Joker and Harley Quinn stage a prison break from Arkham Asylum in a giant balloon, and the stage is engulfed with explosions and fire. Does that not make you just want to run out and check it out?
Yeah, I expect stuff. If that didn't happen at least 8 times in this show, I'd be very upset.
Exactly, exactly. All right, well, unfortunately, we are running out of time for today. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit www.comicbookdaily.com and click on the podcast link.
And remember, I'm the goddamn Batman.
Yes, you are. Go out and support your local comic book store and have yourself a wonderful day.